As we, if you've been with us over the past couple of weeks, we're coming to the end of our little series in the last two chapters. I mean, indeed, these are the last words in the whole Bible. And I wonder how, as we've read them, as we've looked at them, how would you know if you've been changed by these words? How do you know if you've been shaped and changed by them? And we've said all along that these images given to us are there to help us to feel something, so that we might live differently as a result. But some of the images are huge, aren't they? They're big. They're talking about big things. What difference does that actually make to our day to day? And that's what we're going to have a bit to think about as we look at these verses. Two big things, I think. If we've really got grasped what Revelation is saying, then we'll keep going, trusting Jesus, and we'll long for his return more than anything. We'll keep going, trusting him, and we'll long for his return more than anything. And that makes a difference. I think when you experience good things in this life, you'll long for Jesus' return, because even the good things in this life, as we've said before, are only a shadow of the reality to come. And it makes a difference when life is hard, because it'll enable you to keep going, to long for Jesus' return, because this is what he promises, and this new creation is what he promises to all those who persevere, who keep trusting in him. So the two points on our sheets: if we've been changed by these images of the new creation, what will we do? We'll keep trusting Jesus, and we'll pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." And if you were here last week, we had a little bit of group participation. We're going to try that again in a bit. We're going to have two, so we're slowly upping the amount of group participation. So I'll flag those when we get to them. But first, we're thinking about keeping trusting Jesus. Verse 12 again. "Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star." So here's group participation number one. Let's think together. How is Jesus described in these verses? How is Jesus described? Various titles given to him. Shout out when you see one.
Alpha and Omega, beginning and end.
Yeah. What's that getting at?
Start of all the creation, end of all creation.
Yeah. Start and the end of all things. Yeah. How else is he described?
He's coming with a reward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute. Yeah. What's that all about?
It's the fulfillment of prophecy. And I guess that he was going to be like David, and that he was going to be a king. He was going to be a great king of David.
Yeah, exactly. So all the promises given to Old Testament King David have their fulfillment in Jesus. Yeah.
It's the bright morning star.
Yeah. What does that mean?
There we go. What does that mean? I guess that's quite difficult, isn't it? Sounds quite positive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is there something about a morning star in Numbers, I seem to remember? But you've now reached the end of my explanation.
Yeah. Anyone else want to pitch in?
It was Lucifer, morning star. No, there was some sort of link there. This is pop culture.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Strange. We'll not get too caught up on it. I think John's right. It's certainly a positive thing. It's about, I guess, about the one whose light outshines all the others. Who is visible even when other things fade away. He's the one that will be endure and that will outlast.
He's the image of a new day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something, I suppose, the morning star. So
yeah.
Maybe as a new era.
Yeah. again, we can spend a lot of time on each of those images. They're rich and deep. But I think the point here is that Jesus is the one with all authority. He is the one who has endured to the end when all of the things have fallen away. And he is the one who blesses those who trust in him, who have washed their robes. That is, who have trusted in his death on their behalf. And he gives them the right to the tree of life, an entrance into the perfect city that we've been seeing over the past weeks. And of course that privilege, that blessing is not for everyone. He makes that clear again here, and that there are those who are outside, who are left outside the city. The invitation is free and is to all, but there will be those who are outside, those who have continued to do evil and not put their trust in Christ. And so when Jesus returns, and the fact that you've gone on trusting him, even when it's hard, even when it's been hard, will be rewarded. Jesus says, I am coming soon, and I will give each, my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Jesus is saying right at the end of the Bible that it is worth it, trusting him. I guess we know that, don't we, that when something is worth it, we'll persevere in it. When something is worth it, we'll persevere. Recent examples of that, I guess, I don't know how much of the Winter Olympics you followed, but it was right up until the last day before Team GB got their one and only gold medal with the women's curling team. I don't know if you get into the curling, it's strangely addictive when you start.
It becomes addictive when you're good at it.
Yeah, maybe. And the skip of the GB women's curling team, Eve Muirhead, that was her fourth Olympics. She had disappointments along the way. She had one bronze medal, but lots of near misses. She'd had she was very young, but she had to have a hip operation for an arthritic hip, which presumably is quite hard if you're a curler. Many disappointments, but I guess all of those experiences are now worth it. That perseverance is worth it as she gets that gold medal hung around her neck. Or I guess a more serious example, as you think of Ukrainian citizens taking up arms this week to fight against the invasion. Why are they doing that? Well, because they want peace in their country. They want a home for themselves and their children. They think that's worth it. It's worth fighting for. It's worth persevering for. And Jesus' point here, I think, is how much more does Jesus' promise of a reward keep us going, help us to keep going, persevere even when it's hard. Anything we give up now, any sacrifice we make, any hardship that we face, it will all be worth it when Jesus comes with his reward. And Jesus points, his words point to one sign that you're doing that, one sign that you are trusting in him, and that is obeying his words. We've seen this before, but just briefly again, verse 18, where Jesus says, I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. So this is our second group participation. In those verses, two things that we're warned not to do. What are they? Two things that Jesus warns us not to do.
To add anything,
yeah.
to take anything away,
yeah. It's simple, really, isn't it? Not to add and not to take away from, from specifically the words of this scroll, Revelation, but I think you can apply it more broadly to the whole Bible. Not adding anything to his word, not taking anything away, which sounds simple, but of course it can be quite hard when we come to bits that we don't like or that don't go down so well in 21st century London, and things that offend or rile people. But again, when you know that Jesus is coming with his reward and it will be worth it, well, that helps you to persevere in listening to what Jesus says and in obeying him. It helps you to keep going. So, firstly, keep trusting him. And secondly, pray, come Lord Jesus. If you understand what Revelation's been pointing us to, you'll pray, come Lord Jesus. Verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. And then down to verse 20. He who testifies to these things, that's Jesus, says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. See, if the return of the Lord Jesus is the one thing that will remake this world, and that will end everything that is wrong and will bring about everything that is good and perfect, well, knowing that, what else can we pray other than, come, Lord Jesus? I don't know about you, but I find that often my prayers are very focused on this world and sort of stop there. So, you know, maybe you pray that God would intervene in a crisis like that, the one in Ukraine, or in the global pandemic. And that's the right thing to do. We should pray that God would do that. But those things should also make us pray, come, Lord Jesus. Because only then, only when he comes and brings this new creation, will there be lasting peace and no more curse. Or a bit closer to home, when you're praying for, I don't know, something that's gone wrong, like a relationship with a friend, or you're praying that God would change your own heart to rid it of sin. Those are great things to pray for. But they should also make us pray when we see those things and experience those things. They should also make us pray, come, Lord Jesus. Because that is ultimately when all division will end and when Jesus will make his people sinless. And so I think right at the end of the Bible, it's an encouragement to pray, come, Lord Jesus. Because as we do that, and we declare that we don't just want things in this world to be right. We don't just want a better job or better relationships. No, we want to be in the new creation. We want the new creation to come so that we would be with Jesus and so that we would serve him with everything that we have. And praying, come Lord Jesus, it reminds us that there is a kingdom coming that is where wars will cease forever. Where I will be not just with Jesus, but like him, changed to be like him in an instant. And so I guess as we come to the end of Revelation, the question is, will you let these images and this picture of the new creation, will you let it change you so that you keep trusting him and pray and come, Lord Jesus? Let me pray now. Heavenly Father, we do praise you for this picture, the pictures that we've seen over these weeks of the new creation that is to come. Father, how, particularly at the minute as we see the mess of this world, how we long for the return of the Lord Jesus. Father, please, as we see these things, would they make us persevere in trusting him, knowing that it will be worth it when he comes with his reward. And would it cause us to pray, come, Lord Jesus, Father, that we would long for that day more and more, that we would look to it, because it is the day when everything evil will be put right and everything perfect will experience and will know as we trust in him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.